Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Caleb Bailey's great-grandparents were recording artists back in the 40s and 50s, so it was a natural path for him to pursue a music career. As an adult, Caleb spent several years with his band Allegheny Blue before taking a little break from music. Encouraged by a songwriter friend to return and record his own music, he released his debut project, Poplar and Pine, that, much to his surprise, produced the number one hit. Caleb joins me on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about his musical career and where that future leads.
Hi, Caleb. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us today. It's good to connect, and it's kind of fun to talk to a neighbor. I'm usually talking to people all across the world, and you and I are 20, 30 minutes apart today, so that makes it kind of cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love Shenandoah Valley.
Oh, man,
kinda
me
nice
too.
To bring a little music from here to everywhere else, too. So.
Yeah, right. So how did this get started for you? How did you, what influenced you? How did you begin your music career?
Well, my great-grandparents were recording artists back in the 40s and 50s, and so music was heavily influenced in my family,
yeah.
Family reunions and things like that. And my great-uncle on my mother's side, that was on my father's side, and my great-uncle on my mother's side played in Nashville for Eddie Rabbit and Tom T. Hall, played
Joe Grohl
and the guitar for those guys. So
yeah.
I've got strong musical influences really on both sides of my family tree. And like I said, I played at church and sing when I was growing up. So just always had music around my family. We get together at Christmas and have jams, and, you know, just kind of was always there. I started playing when I was about 16.
Okay.
And I found I could write. That's, you know, what I consider myself first and foremost as a songwriter.
Yeah, okay.
And I found I could write kind of early on, you know. I think I wrote my first, like, I understood that I wrote my first song, but I never put it on paper. I was just singing
yeah.
with my brother, and I told him, I said, we can sing this at church coming up. And he's like, did Mom teach you that? And I was like, no. He's like, well, how'd you find this song? And I was like, I made it up. He's like, well, that's stupid. We're not going to sing that. So I didn't sing it. But
oh,
that
man.
Was the first time I realized that I could actually write songs. You know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It just kind of grew from there. And this opportunity with the album that I have now, Poplar and Pine, it kind of blossomed from a friendship I have with Gavin Largent, the world-renowned rezzo player that he now plays banjo for Daly and Vincent and
right.
plays dobro for, I was going to draw a blank, Tim O'Brien Band.
Okay, yeah,
and he was
sure.
just at Red Wing Roots with Tim O'Brien.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, he's largely gaining some ground as one of the best dobro players in the business, and he's a friend of mine. So I called him up and pitched him a couple songs I've been writing because I had a band before and, you know, kind of getting back into music a little bit. And he said that he wanted to record one of them. So Poplar and Pine, the album title. So I was like, well, man, as I was on cloud nine, somebody that was, you know, in the business, a pro, was liking what I was writing.
Yeah.
So he called me back about 3 weeks later and said, man, COVID was hitting about this time. He said, man, I've really been thinking about your stuff. He said, why don't you record these songs yourself? He's like, I can put session guys behind you. He said, we'll put a studio band in playing. And he said, I think when people see who's on your album, they'll stop to listen to your music. He said, that's the difference in, you know, I had a regional band here for a few years around the Shenandoah Valley, Allegheny Blue. And
right,
we
I remember,
had some,
yeah.
some success. You know, we had kind of started to play up and down the coast a little bit, and, you know, we're starting to branch out, but we just never could really gain a lot of ground nationally. And with this, you know, this opportunity, he said, man, I think people on the national level will pause and listen. He said, if we can get them to listen, he said, I think your songs could really have a chance to do something.
Wow. That's cool.
So I had a baby on the way, and I talked to the girlfriend and said, hey, you know, this is a chance I'll probably never get again, you know, so let's try it. And so we did, and the rest is history. I've had a single hit number one on the Grassicana chart, and they've been getting some good airplay, and it kind of leads me to here. I'm talking to you.
Yeah, wow. That's an interesting journey, to say the least.
It's been a whirlwind.
Yeah, I'm sure. Did you have something else you were doing? You know, the stereotypical day job. Are you still doing that? Are you shifting gears and trying to run this full time?
Well, man, I mean, it's kind of crazy. I'm a professional fireman by trade.
Okay.
So during the day, I work for Rockingham County Fire. I'm a fire captain.
Okay.
So during the day, I've been doing that, and then I own my own asphalt sealing and striping business on the side. So I was doing the sealing and striping, and I just kind of got back into music. I kind of quit playing for a little while, and you know, I went through a divorce, and I was like, you know, when you do that, music just kind of hits you, you know,
it's just
a way to funnel all those emotions. So
sure.
I started writing and playing really heavily, you know, early 2019, and that's what kind of sparked all this interest back into music, and I had to knock a lot of rust off. I kind of put my guitar down for a little while, and, you know, just life kind of happens, and I said, well, I found that side of myself again, and kind of did, you know, you're doing the soul searching, going through all those big-time life decisions. I mean, anybody can relate to how those things go. When I was doing that, you know, these opportunities just kind of came about. So now I'm looking at, you know, the possibility of playing more. I've put a band together now, so still looking for a couple pieces to that, but we've been practicing and putting things back together to try to book and play some hard shows in 2022. So it's been coming together, and like I said, I released the singles in hopes that, you know, I could get some chart action and get some national airplay. All my songs have gotten some international airplay. I've been played in Australia and Ireland and downloaded in France, Germany, Spain, the Netherlands, Austria. So,
wow,
I mean,
that's cool.
It's kind of cool to be able to see, you know, your music go around the world. It's really crazy.
Right, yeah.
And the songs kind of started that, you know.
Yeah, yeah. The songs for this record, are these songs that you predominantly have written recently, or some of these older? Were you writing when you had your time off and weren't playing?
Actually, no. Well, when I was with Allegheny Blue, I wrote or co-wrote Daniel Hattie's show in that group. We co-wrote a lot together. And I think it was 9 out of the first 12 on the first album I either wrote or co-wrote on with Allegheny Blue. And when we went to the studio the second time, I think it was 10 out of 12 were wrote or co-wrote by myself.
Uh-huh.
And so this time around, I kind of, damn, that's another thing that had happened is that, you know, there was no writing going on in the meantime.
So, right.
I've written a song, I think there's one on this album that I actually wrote before in about 2007. That's
uh-huh.
probably the oldest song on this CD.
Okay.
But everything else is very recent. It's been within the last 2 years. I started listening to a lot more modern bluegrass, like what's kind of hitting right now, and tried to, you know, put an ear to what I used to write in a real, real traditional vein.
Uh-huh.
Like a lot of my stuff, you know, came from a rootsy, you know, the Southwest Virginia origins of bluegrass sound, like, you know, those types of roots. And then now I've been just listening to a lot of modern stuff and just not trying to change but evolve, you know, just try to bring a little bit of what's hidden today. Like, I feel like I could write in this style, so I started challenging myself to change my writing a little bit and find some things. And these songs have all kind of been within the last 2 years.
Do you have a format or a process that you have a place that you go? What is it? Seems like every songwriter has something kind of unique that kind of fuels the fire when they're ready to start writing.
Yeah, I mean, I know I have a friend, Rick Lang. We co-wrote a song together a few weeks ago, and he has a certain room he goes to, and I'm kind of different when it comes to that. Inspiration kind of hits me a little bit anywhere. My newest single will be out on Friday, United Flight 93. I actually wrote that while I was working at the fire department.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just in my head all day long. And, you know, I just kind of kept that there and was just toying with lyrics and telling the guy that I was working with, my partner that day, I was like, man, listen to this. He's like, man, how are you coming up with that? You know, we're checking off a fire engine. How do you know this stuff? Like, and it just hits me. You know? And I can remember songs as weird. I had a song I wrote in 2009, I guess, The Ghost of Eli Jones. I'd wrote almost all of it. I just never could finish it. It just was kind of like, I knew it, but it was just hanging out there. You know, I couldn't never wrap it up. And I ended up finishing that in 2019, and that's also on the album. So, yeah, I don't have a, I do have a method. I use kind of like end patterning as you do in poetry.
Right. Yeah.
Where you, you know, you pattern your end words to a pattern to, so that it all fits. And I count syllables. Anybody that's a lead vocalist, you know, sometimes it fits really good on paper and it doesn't sound pretty, so you got to really work on you know, your timing and how much you can put into saying it within breaths and breathing and stuff. So I count syllables, and I do use end rhymes or, you know, end patterns. And but other than that, like, if I have trouble making a verse or something work, I can go back and usually dig that up. But now it just kind of hits in my head. Now it just kind of just comes to me. So sometimes I don't even write it down. You know, I just start playing with chords to see what I can make, you know, happen. Because I know what I hear in my head. Like, I know where it's at. And in my brain, I just got to transpose that to the guitar next. So,
do you, keep them stored on your, you keep them stored on your phone, or do you have a notebook? How do you hang on to the melody and the words until you're ready to come back to it?
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
I have. My guitar case is full of bits and pieces, and, you know, I got some on my phone that, you know, sometimes I do the voice memo with the iPhone. I do the voice memo a lot, and that helps me kind of keep the tune. It doesn't sound the best, but at least you got a good idea of how to, I could be driving down the road and something hit me, and I was like, man, that's a good line. I'll just keep that one for later. So, but yeah, normally, like this song, United, that I have coming out, that thing, I started writing it at work. We were talking about the Shanksville Memorial, United Flight 93 Memorial, and my friend I was working with that day, he said, man, as much as you love history and songwriter and stuff, he said, I'm surprised you've never been there. And I still, to this day, have not set foot there. And,
really?
I really want to go. But so I went, started looking at the witness accounts of that day on their website, and I was, like, just so moved by how you just felt like you were right there with those people that day. I mean, because every description is so vivid, it's like you can relive their footsteps right there in that moment.
Yeah.
And it's real to us because it's modern history, you know, so it's not like going and reading about the Civil War or the Revolution or something, or, you know, the Great Depression. I mean, you know, where your grandparents were like, yeah, I remember that. Like, I remember 9/11, you know, so that's, it made it really real to me. And that's what moved me, was that just in that moment, I just started thinking, I was like, man, that is just crazy, the imagery in my head. So I started writing, and, you know, it ended up coming out the way it did. So.
And that's on this record, correct?
Yes, sir. That'll be released August 6th. It'll come out Friday, August 6th, and it'll be available on iTunes, Spotify, AirPlay Direct, all that. And then, actually, releasing it through CDX as well, CDX Nashville.
So the single is being released on August 6th, or the entire album?
The entire album will be released October 1st. The single will drop on August 6th.
Okay. And are there others on the way? Do you have other singles yet to release first?
Actually, I've released, so far I've released four singles. I've released Grim Reaper, which was, like I said, charted in June 4th, charted at number one on Grassicana. I've released The Ghost of Eli Jones and The House of the Lord as a gospel release. As The House of the Lord has a music video you can check out on my YouTube channel, Caleb Bailey Music. And then I released Hard Cider, which is a pretty cool summer single about making cider in Virginia. So,
okay, yeah.
Tells a pretty cool little tale, and it's got some really hot pickers on it too, man.
Awesome.
It's a pretty cool little song. But yeah, and then this will actually be the 5th single. Yeah. Grim Reaper, Ghost of Eli Jones, House of the Lord, and Heart Sadder. So this will be the 5th single, and then I'll release the rest of the album. I have five more songs that'll come out on October 1st as a whole album.
What was it like to get that call that the song had hit number one?
To be honest with you, I was a day late finding out.
Really?
It was kind of cool. I was talking to some people about looking for publicists and stuff like that. I was in the middle of trying to get all that ironed out, and I was talking to a gentleman named Rick Dollar, and he said, "Congrats on the number one." And I said, "What? What number one?" He said, "Well, your single, man, Grim Reaper, just went number one." And I was like, "You got to be kidding me." So I said, I was so busy on that Friday, I just didn't look at that chart.
Uh-huh.
And he said, "Yeah," he said, "it just went number one, 153 spins." He said, "You're right above Sturgill Simpson." I was like, "You got to be kidding
me." Wow.
So I went and looked, and sure enough, and it was that same week, it was number 12 on the grass, or on the traditional chart for bluegrass today.
Yeah.
I was like, man, it was really nuts to see my music, on that level with those people.
Yeah, for sure.
I had been watching the charts like a hawk too, so it was like the one time you look away. Every week I was really dialed into, if I was going to be able to make it or not. And the one week I don't look, it ends up popping off.
Wow. Well, congratulations. That's awesome.
I appreciate it.
So
I don't have a cool story to tell you about it without getting the phone call or nothing.
Yeah, right. So you played for a while and life took a different course and you stepped away and you're back in music again. What's ahead? How far ahead are you looking now? What are you working on another album? You're trying to get a tour together. What's it look like for you moving from here?
Little bit of all of that. I'm putting the band together currently. Right now I've got a mandolin player that's up from Reston, Virginia. Kyle Winbeck has been playing mandolin. The bass player, Brandon Kyle from Grottos, he was formerly with me with Allegheny Blue. And then right now playing fiddle is an old-time fiddle player named Joseph Showalter. He just come on with us and still kind of piecing together the banjo and the dobro. We'll see how that looks. Got some people that have been filling in and doing well with us, but I haven't really locked down anything 100% yet. So putting those pieces together right now. And then to try to book some shows. We're getting some festivals and some things lined up for this fall and upcoming year. So, and I've got about 7 songs right now ready to go for the next album. So late spring to record again. So if we can keep things rolling, see how it goes.
In the same style that you currently have?
Yeah. I write what hits me, so I've gotten some, and I like to write about, I like to tell stories and write about historical stuff too, especially from Virginia. So,
yeah,
as you said, we're both from Virginia. I know this podcast goes worldwide, but we're both from the Shenandoah Valley, and we're plagued with history here. Everywhere you look is blanketed in history, and I love being from Virginia, and I love telling the story about, I like telling Virginia's story to other people. And I've got some really cool songs coming up in the works that tell pieces of history. Like Hard Cider is about Nellie's Ford, Virginia.
Yeah, okay.
And it's a fictional story, but it tells a lot of the local history in it. And, I like telling tales like that. So it's got the next CD will actually have some local history in that as well in my songwriting. And just tells, got a couple story songs in there that'll just be about, fictional characters, but love stories and of the like. But yeah, same kind of the same vein, but new songs.
Yeah. When does it look like you'll get to get out on the road with the new band? Do you have some dates lined up coming up this late summer?
Yeah, I've got at the Rockingham County Fair here locally in August, and then I'll be playing in Verona. So I got a couple local shows coming up in August, and then August 20th, people can catch us at the Rockingham County Fair in Harrisonburg. And then looking to hopefully go visit at IBMA and try to get in touch with some promoters, about some festivals coming up. I just talked to a gentleman today about maybe the possibility of playing the festival in October. So
awesome.
But that's not finalized yet. So, but I'll let everybody know when we get something pegged down. So
yeah,
hopefully by next year we'll be playing some dates.
Yeah,
I really want to get back into playing for my money instead of having to work so hard for it.
Yeah, I understand. Well, that's awesome, man. I am happy for you. It's cool when something like that happens, and I hope you get to ride this for a long time. And I certainly appreciate you taking the time to check in with us and help let us help you tell a little bit of your story. And we certainly wish you well with it moving forward, man.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity as well. And I hope you have tremendous success with the podcast and the magazine as well.
Thank you, Caleb.
Absolutely. Have a great one, Greg.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Jabbers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.